Welcome into a special Saturday night main event edition of the Green Zone Game Day, as two big game days today for the Riders. It's the Tiger Cats in Week 2 action at Hamilton Stadium as the 1-0 Riders are in Hamilton to take on the 0-1 Hamilton Tiger Cats. And, of course, just past 6 o'clock, puck drop of the Stanley Cup Final, game number 5, series 2-2, with the Edmonton Oilers hosting the Florida Panthers. But as we continue here on the Green Zone Game Day with the Riders and the Tiger Cats, it's time now for Britton Gray's player profile interview with the starting Will linebacker for today's game, AJ Allen.
How have you just grown as a player since when you first arrived in Saskatchewan?
I mean, getting used to the CFL game. Obviously, I've been used to Canadian football. I played here, but getting used to the speed, the chess game of it. The intellectual side, the reading the offense and reading the linemen and things like that. It's beautiful. It's taking some time, but I feel comfortable and confident for sure.
How important has special teams been to your development? Because your guys really cut your teeth there to get this opportunity.
For sure, it's the most important part of our game, if you ask me, and it's my start. You know. It's a big part of AJ Allen as a football player. Ever since university, I've made it a point and an emphasis to be the best one on the field and just keep proving myself right with that opportunity and you know, just be a dog. That's your job out there, right? Be the best one out there, be unblockable, make sure that you block everybody you're supposed to block and make plays out there, run to the football and do things like that. So it's been instrumental to my introduction to the CFL for sure.
You and Roland Milligan still have that friendly competition on special teams as you did last year?
Of course, but we saw that dude get 7. That's a tough start right there. but between us, every single play, we are talking, we're racing, we are trying to get to the football, make plays on it for sure.
This year, this team has off high expectations for itself from outside, inside the locker room. You've been through the ups and downs of this team, so what's it mean to have a season here where it seems like it's full engine go ahead?
It means a lot. It means a lot for sure. We are prepared. We are intentional with our actions. We are efficient. I think that means a lot, especially because, again, we've been through some ups and downs where we weren't those things, right? We weren't prepared. We weren't efficient with our time and how we played. So it means a lot being able to start a winning program, be here from the bottom and be on the up end of it, you know, be prepared, feel like it, you know what I'm saying? So it means a lot. It means no one wants to lose, right? We're all paid to play winning football. So that's what we're trying to do every day.
Did you take some time to rewatch that pick six you had last year in the off season?
I mean, they only posted it 15 times. So yes, I did 100%. I showed everybody. I even had friends, you know, hey, I just saw this on TSN or even my mom too. My mom told me, she has some friends at work, be like, oh my, is that your son? Oh my God, no way. So that's always awesome. That's always awesome for sure. Big move. And more to come for sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did you and Nathan Rourke have a Twitter conversation about where he disagreed about it being one of the top plays?
100%. That's my guy, man. We always talk. I know Nathan since I was younger and always rooting for him and stuff like that. But yeah, 100%. It's always fun in games with him, man. I was talking trash. He's talking trash. You know, he told me after too. He's like, I got to work on my linebacker skills. Because for those who don't know, I started a defensive end and he started a linebacker before he played quarterback. So he's like, I got to get back to my linebacker skills. I got to make that tackle. I said, no, not a chance. So fun. Always fun with him.
I guess just how exciting is it possibly getting the start this week and a chance to really show what you can do with a full game?
Super exciting. Again, obviously means a lot to me, having the confidence of my coaches and coordinators. That always means a lot. And on top of that, with having the confidence of my teammates and them trusting me to be where I need to be when I'm supposed to be there, means a lot. It's just another opportunity to be great and prove myself right and show that I can play this game at a high level on defense as well as special teams.
That is AJ Allen, who has, you know, he's one of those players, right, Darryl? You see, special teams, mm-hmm. gather some speed, and then all of a sudden he gets that opportunity on defense, and the Riders don't miss a beat. He had 4 tackles last week in replacing C.J. Avery.
And he's, as you say, Jamie, he's always on special teams. You notice him always articulate too. Britton's cheating this week, interviewing Micah Johnson and AJ Allen. They're the two of the best interviews on the team. There are a bunch of good ones on the team, but listening to him and that play that he made last year was absolutely amazing. He is around the football, Jamie. He can play this spot. if they decide to use him as opposed to Avery, for Avery's a good player, but if they decide to use Allen, I don't know if it's that much of a drop off, and they get another Canadian in the starting lineup. So it's a really big thing for the Rough Riders, giving them that flexibility. I don't think it's going to be a weakness. Let's watch him today. I'm sure they'll test him to see if he's any good, and I think he's pretty good.
He is that, as we get to another bold prediction question, which is around A.J. Allen, the starting Will linebacker for the Riders today. As I mentioned, in relief duty, he didn't get a special teams tackle last week, but he did have four defensive tackles for the Riders. So how many defensive tackles, how many special teams tackles, and does he create a turnover? Now, that could be anything that creates a turnover. If he tips the ball in the air for an interception.
Wow, you're really liberal on this one. Okay.
If he creates the fumble, if he gets the fumble recovery, if he gets the interception, knocks the ball away.
Gracious guy, eh? We always knew Jamie was a liberal, right?
I'll even say if he puts pressure on the quarterback for an interception, that's creating a turnover.
All right. So,
like if he's in there on a blitz and he hits Bo and he throws a pick, I'll say that's creating a turnover for A.J. Allen.
All right.
So how many tackles, how many special teams tackles create a turnover? I'll go first, unless, Belton, you have a hunch that you want to go first with it.
I'm going to let you go. I got it in my head what I got here.
I'm going to go five tackles, one special teams tackle, but I'm going to say no, he does not create a turnover.
See, I had five tackles.
Oh, sorry.
No. So I'm going to have to go one up on you
six?
Here. Six tackles.
Special teams tackles.
We'll go two there. Yes.
Yes, he will create a turnover.
Based on what you said there, Jay.
Okay, yeah.
Four defensive tackles. And with Jamie keeping score that way, I'll say he's going to create one. I think he's around the play enough that he's going to force something. Yeah, I like the way he plays. And one special teams tackle.
One special teams tackle for A.J. Allen. As we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, of course, at 5 o'clock, it is the kickoff for the Riders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But keep it here on CJME and CKOM as we will continue to bring you up to the puck drop of the Oilers game, game number 5. Of course, we now know Calvin Pickard will get the start for the Edmonton Oilers tonight over Stuart Skinner. Victor Arvidsson draws back into the lineup, but that is for Kasperi Kapanen, not for Jeff Skinner. So Jeff Skinner will remain in the lineup. And despite only playing about 5 minutes, Troy Stetcher will be still defenseman number 6 for the Oilers. So Locker and I will get you set for the Oilers and the Florida Panthers. But right now, let's go around the Canadian Football League. Let's start with what's going on this week in the Canadian Football League, which is we've already seen the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the BC Lions 34-20 on Thursday Night Football. As Nathan Rourke struggled again in the first half. He got injured, however. Might be an oblique tear strain or something. We Cody Fajardo, I remember, played through that in 2019.
Yep.
Also, Brady Oliveira, shoulder injury, might have to be on the 6-game injured list. Don't want to see two superstars of the Canadian Football League going down this early.
Canadian superstars, too,
yes,
which makes it even tougher. But losing Rourke would really hurt the BC Lions, right? Jeremiah Mazzoli just stepped in afterwards, but he's not the same guy he used to be either. Team is built around Rourke. And Oliveira, I know Winnipeg always has somebody in reserve, but Oliveira was, you know, the TSN picking top 50. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a whole lot of dispute with Brady Oliveira being the top player in the Canadian Football League. He's right up there, so losing him could be a blow to Winnipeg. And how long is he gone for? We don't know that for a while, but let's watch Oliveira was the backup to Harris for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So they always had the Canadian ready to step in. Let's see what they've got. They have another Canadian ready to step in, but is he as good as Oliveira, right?
Well, that guy who played last night, right? Stevenson? I can't remember his last name, but he had a heck of a game.
So when you look at the Montreal Alouettes beating the Ottawa Redblacks 39-18.
Well, Drew Brown's out too. Jameer Thurman hurt Drew Brown on that blitz, right? You could see it that he got up and his hip was no good. He probably shouldn't have played after that. But losing him, once again, that's a team built around the, all teams in this league are built around the quarterbacks. That's why the Rough Riders, I think, are ahead of time, ahead of teams, so they've got a very strong quarterback room. Yes, there are some better backups in this league, but the team was supposed to rely on Drew Brown, and not having him, Ottawa's in a little bit of trouble because of
Three picks from Matthew Schultz. That Montreal defense, like they did in week one,
got out there.
That is a fierce group. And well, Davis Alexander Belton still hasn't lost a game as a starting quarterback in the Canadian Football League.
He's got
what,
it.
That's what he's. Yeah, he's got it, man. He does. And, you know, the Alouettes, they, I know it's early, but they're looking pretty darn good right now.
That defense and the quarterback, especially they can believe in. Yep, that's true. I think they're a very strong team. Yep.
So right now in Toronto, you have the Argonauts just scoring a touchdown to pull this one, I believe, within seven against the Calgary Stampeders.
26-19.
It is about 4.5 minutes left, so no lead is safe.
Coach, he just started a lawnmower. That's what he was doing, wasn't it?
That was after, the celebration.
After he scored a touchdown, he pretended to start his gas lawnmower.
are you sure that was that a shot at TFC with all their complaints about the grass?
Could be, a possibility. Or else he's a groundskeeper at Oakmont for the U.S. Open. Beautiful.
So Toronto's tightening that one. As two, I'm still not sure about either of these teams with the Stampeders and the Argos. I have no read on these two right now.
Marks. Yeah, too early.
It is early. It's still early, but I still get a heads up to Calgary. Like, I don't know. It's something still about their organization to me, fellas.
That makes them good? You think that they're stable? Okay. And Vernon Adams Jr. played pretty well last game, but he's certainly capable of some of the greatest ups and downs, right?
Yeah.
Between games, during games, he can just totally implode. So let's see what happens. They need a possession drive now to keep the Argonauts at bay here.
Jamie Nye, Belton Johnson, Daryl Davis, so with you here on the Green Zone as we continue to go around the CFL, as one of the other headlines in the Canadian Football League was the announcement on the Hall of Fame class of 2025 for this year. The big local angle, Daryl got to call the man himself to say, you know what, it's about time you get into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Longtime junior Ram, junior Rams coach, then University of Regina Rams coach. He's been in football for, 40-plus years, we had Frank McChrystal in studio yesterday. Frank McChrystal, a Canadian Football Hall of Famer.
Legendary, hey? When I wrote the story about him, there's a lot of things you can talk about the players he's coached, and it comes from Gord Curry, who is a legendary coach, and Frank learned from him. He was his mentor. Gord Curry's in the Hall of Fame, was a legendary coach here at Belton before you arrived, coached the Rams. Just this amazing, amazing person, and that's who Frank gives a lot of tribute to. But McChrystal did it. You know, it's a very strong Rams program. Frank was a good player. Played for 5 years as a linebacker, won national championships, won seven national championships as a coach in 15 years. So what he did is certainly worthy of accomplishment. That's one of the fun things of being on the selection committee. Jamie, I got to phone Ray Yock. I got to phone Paul McCallum. I got to phone Roy Shivers and Frank McChrystal to tell them they're going into the Hall of Fame. And it's just, you know, Frank, I've teased Frank. Frank's always been this guy full of confidence, right? And the humility that comes out of these wonderful, high-achieving people when they get inducted into the Hall of Fame is really something, and Frank is humbled. Doesn't know who to thank in his acceptance speech. That'll be fun.
Well, he has somebody that he wants to thank.
And you've heard him speak. He's a very good speaker, right? So it's going to be fun to listen to him when he gets inducted in Hamilton.
Did he tell you what he honestly thought when he saw your call display come up?
No. Yes. Wait a minute. You have to go to remind me. I forgot.
He was like, uh-oh. He was like, is this... Yeah.
Oh, somebody else died.
And someone else who's gone now. Yeah. He had no sniff that you were going to call to put him in the Hall of Fame. And he was like, wait, you thought you were joking at the start. He's like, are you pulling my leg here, Davis?
That would be a good practical joke, wouldn't it? Hey, you're in the Hall of Fame. No, just kidding.
Frank, long overdue as the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. As some of the other Canadian Football Hall of Famers, Jermaine Copeland, the great receiver, as well as he was known for over 10,000 yards. You'll also remember all the creative touchdowns. So you talked about the mow the lawn. They did the bobsleigh. They did the bike with the Calgary Stampeders.
Yeah.
Brian Chu and Javon Olafoye, two great offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Olafoye, one of the great tackles in the Canadian Football League with the BC Lions. Scott Flagel, former Winnipeg Blue Bomber defender, has 60 turnovers, 40 interceptions, 20 fumble recoveries in his career. And I said it on the show, Daryl, you can back me up on this, maybe the first Sam linebacker in terms of coverage, being able to blitz, being able to do everything. Darryl Hull, Calgary Stampeders.
I'm not supposed to talk about the discussions very much, but that was what it was. He was a prototype. He was the defensive back, big, oversized defensive back. They pulled down a linebacker to cover guys like Ray Algard, because Ray Algard was this huge slot back, and who could cover him as just this linebacker? A linebacker couldn't run with him. A small defensive back couldn't
run over.
He'd get run over when Algard caught the ball. So Hall was one of those big guys who play. They called him a linebacker. Now we call them linebackers. They all, the guys who play Sam Backer, always say, "Hey, I'm a defensive back." But they're the bigger guys, and that's what Darryl Hall was with the Calgary Stampeders. Did an amazing job. He and Algard used to have some slug-em-out matches out there. But Darryl Hall, that's why I believe he's a worthwhile Hall of Famer, because he's the guy who set up the way that defenses are scheduled, are played now.
And the other builder in the building category is Glenn Johnson. He worked 11 Grey Cups, 4 as head official. Then he went into the front office, head of officiating. He is an all-around good guy. If you go, wait a second, which one is he? He was the guy who announced the 13th man penalty in 2009. That was official. Glenn Johnson.
He had to.
Yeah. He didn't want to.
He said that many times. Says, I didn't want to make that call, but how do you avoid it? Count the number of guys on the field.
He was almost as sick as everybody else was. Like, I'm going to have to make this call in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Glenn Johnson has done a great job when he was head of officials in the Canadian Football League as well. He was one of those guys who said, that has nothing to do with the play, can we not call the penalty? Like, why are we calling a holding on the opposite side of the field where the play is? Like, come on. So we tried to refine the officiating a little bit.
True, but he was a big supporter of video review, so that's where we differed. But I think the world of Glenn Johnson, but we
didn't
have
that didn't
discussion.
Keep him out. Darryl didn't use his veto power.
Yeah, I only have one vote.
There are your Canadian Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. We'll wrap things up here on the Green Zone pregame show before we turn over to a special hour of Oilers coverage here on the Green Zone. We'll get the roster check and our final bold prediction next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Tiger Cats at 5. And, of course, a special hour Green Zone. Locker and I will take you to 6 o'clock puck drop of the Oilers and the Florida Panthers. As we do a roster check, we'll start off with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Drew Wilitarski, Brandon O'Leary, Orange on the one-game injured list from the receiving corps. Defensive back Reggie Stubblefield still not ready to go for the Tiger Cats this year. Defensive back Lawrence Woods III has started on the six-game injured list. Only one change from their game last week, and that is O'Leary Orange off for Keaton Brugeling on the receiving corps. For the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Kadeem Carey makes his debut with Thomas Bertrand Hood onto the one-game injured list. You also have Kean Schaefer-Baker going to the six-game injured list with that foot injury. Deshaun Mims added to the roster. C.J. Avery also on the six-game injured list with a bicep injury, so A.J. Allen starts at will linebacker. Jacob Brammer is healthy, good to go. He returns to the offensive line, but they don't shift Trevion Tate to left tackle. Instead, it'll be Daniel Johnson at left tackle, and I chatted with him about his first pro game last week.
It was awesome. It was awesome, you know, knowing that the whole year I put in last year trying to get my body back is working out and is working to my benefit. So it was exciting. It was exciting.
Back in training camp, a coach said if there's an award for, you know, most improved from what I saw from last year, it would be Daniel Johnson. What is it? What did you have to go through, as you said, to get your body back?
It's a lot of it's mental, you know. It's after injuries, you know, like, you got to learn a new body. You got to learn how to move again and having confidence in your body, you know, knowing that you could that you could still move the way you want to move and the way you have been moving is a challenge. You know what I mean? So, and it's all about reps, you know. So it's being hurt, you have to focus on getting healthy but instead of football. Whereas once you're healthy, all you can focus on is football, and that's what I've been doing the whole offseason because I felt good towards the end of the season. So I had the whole offseason to work on football instead of working on my health.
There was a moment when Peyton went down. I noticed Yoshi came up to you. Mm-hmm. He gave you like the biggest hug ever before your first snap. What was that moment like? What were kind of some of the words Jamarcus was trying to send your way before that next snap?
It was awesome, man. He was just telling me, just like camp, like, you know what I mean? Like, Yoshi's a big brother to me, and I want to model my game after him. You know what I mean? He's a good leader to have and good leader to follow. So him coming up to me before that snap was awesome. He was just telling me, like, just like camp, you know, don't think anything different. It's just football, and we got your back.
That is Daniel Johnson, left tackle. The young Canadian, they pitched a shutout last week.
Oh, yeah, so. And Yoshi helping out. That's the type of guy. You need those guys. Hey, Belton, yeah. And the senior guys, because everybody's got a first snap or a first game or a first start, and you need somebody to kind of guide you through that first time, don't you?
And it gives you that confidence. And speaking of Johnson, I know he played at Purdue under my brother, so I was – quizzing my brother. I'm like, what is he like? He's like, oh, he's a dog. He'll get out there. Yet. So I told my brother, I'm going to watch for this dog today.
Is he a tackle? He's got to be a pure tackle, right?
I don't think he's ever played guard.
Okay, because that's, you know, moving Tevion Tate, who's a good lineman, tackle. No matter, he can play all these spots, right? But sometimes guys can't be moved around, and to have Johnson obviously familiar
and
with being a tackle.
And tackle, too.
Yes, there. Especially. And a Canadian left tackle, man, that's impressive. So let's see.
I haven't seen that since Geno.
Yeah,
really.
That's about it. You're right. There aren't very many over there. So let's see how they do. This offensive line has amazed me the last couple of years. What a great job they've done of patching it together.
Yep. Okay, let's get to our final bowl prediction, which is our predictions. Who wins? Riders, Tiger Cats. Daryl and I are going to go first so we can all boo Belton.
I don't know. I'm not sold on the Riders yet today, Jamie.
Well, I'm going
Saskatchewan, 32-20. That's my score for the Riders.
You know, Belton, when you said Hamilton, I was starting to think it because of the injuries to the Rough Riders, and they've had to restructure that whole lineup a little bit. But I keep thinking Hamilton was really bad last week.
They were. Right? They were.
What'd you say, Jamie?
32-20.
I don't think it's going to be that close. 34-24.
34-24, Riders.
Yeah.
Okay, Belton, why are you picking the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
You got something stuck in my head, I told you, Jamie.
The Trip East.
The Trip East. And then plus it's the Tiger Cats home opener right there, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with the Tiger Cats, 28-24. Keep in mind, I picked the Riders to go 13-5, Jamie.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
One of the rare losses for the Riders this season coming up, says Belton Johnson. As now we'll shift gears. We'll go from the Riders to the Oilers. Another hour of coverage to take you to puck drop of Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Evan Bray's coming up live from Rogers Center. Locker's going to join me, and we'll hear from Jason Strudwick before puck drop of Game 5. We are at our watch party, Boston Pizza, Acre 21 location in Regina on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.